I apologize. As you can hear, I've been battling with a head cold this week, and so still struggling a little bit with my voice. I want to share with you, too, that I normally preach from one book of the Bible at a time and more exegetically. But with our study that we're into, we're going to be looking at some specific areas. And so we're going to, I struggle when we get into a time of Bible study and it's like we're doing an exegesis of finding that we know all the books of the Bible. And I don't want to get into that, but I do want it to flow systematically in a way where that we can begin in the Old Testament. And I actually, as I was typing this, I apologize, it's Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 will be our first scripture. And most of you familiar with the text here as we look at these scriptures. Some of you have already raised children and helped with grandchildren and may have great-grandchildren, but I just want to say we have a lot of young families. I ask a lot of times about raising children and teaching them God's word and trying to hopefully see them become followers of Christ and be godly children, children that are God-honoring. And, you know, they have a lot of times the parents have all the basics down of how to feed them and bathe them and take care of them and all those ways, but they're really looking for some guidance and instruction biblically. Of how can I be a godly father? How can I be a godly mother? How can we be godly parents? And so I want to begin today with really talking about training your children. We're going to look at four specific areas as we go through this study on raising godly children. And I want to tell you that, you know, some people say, well, you know, that may work for some people, but it doesn't work for all people. Listen, the Word of God is living and active. And it's never changing. And the biblical principles apply to all those who are followers of Christ. And I want to tell you, too, if you have a child who is a very strong-willed child, we have experienced that. She's 30 years old, just turned 30 this past Saturday. But they grow out of it in many ways. Not always. They test your patience. They try you in your conviction sometime to be loving and kind as well as discipline them in the Lord. And one of the things that I tell folks a lot of times when they come to you is, listen, the main thing is consistency. You have to be consistent just as the Lord is with us. And what I mean by that is that one, you love them unconditionally. You don't always approve and condone what they do, and you can make that very clear. But the one thing that they need to never question is your love for them, that you love them. But the other thing is discipline. And that discipline has to be consistent just like the unconditional love. That discipline has to be appropriate according to the age and gender, I think, as well. There's some things that are gender neutral that you can do in discipline. There are some things that are more effective based on the age for certain genders more than others. Having raised a boy and a girl, and Kim said we only had two. God only created a male and a female, so we didn't have any others. But you know, we see that they are different. And I thought about as I was preparing this series is maybe it'd be better if Kim would come up and share some of the things with you because, you know, I tell you, dads, a lot of times we leave a lot of this to the moms. A lot of the discipline falls on the moms. A lot of the nurturing, a lot of the caring for the children. We like to have fun with them, but when it comes time that there's a need for discipline, a lot of times we don't want to be the bad guy. And so I want to tell you here today, dads, I'm going to get to this towards the latter part of the sermon. The mother and the father have roles and responsibilities in raising the children. And one should not have to take on both roles. As godly men, you need to be the head of your home. You need to be the leader of your home. You also need to be the one that helps set those examples in the home. You need to be the one that helps in the discipline, but also reaffirming with the love of your children as well, as we'll see from the word. And so as we begin in Proverbs chapter 22, Beginning in verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, most of us have heard that scripture. And I want to tell you that for a lot of us, we have prayed that scripture at different times in the life of our children. And I tell parents very honestly, though, sometimes when you have one that may be a little strong-willed, is that, you know, is they will grow out of it in some ways, in a lot of ways, but they may continue. And listen, let me just tell you this. That strong will can be used by God very effectively to be firm in your convictions and who it is you believe in and why you believe it. And so, as we're talking about training children, I want to begin, first of all, to say in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. And we know that children are a natural result in most cases in marriage. And we know that the Lord has given us these children to be a blessing and to steward over them, to teach them and to point them to walk with him and to know him just as we do as followers of Christ. But as we're thinking about that too, I want you to think about one other thing. We have members of the congregation that are building a new home, and they wanted folks to come and write scripture verses on their walls. And so, you know, kind of jokingly, but at the same time, seriously, I looked up this next verse, and it's Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Now, we live in a time today where quite often most families have one or maybe two children. And it used to be that families were a lot larger. And some of it may have to do with economics. Some of it may be for other reasons. But the biggest thing is whether you have one child or 10 children, we love them and we teach them to know Christ. And we spend that time needed with them to build that relationship as a mother and a father, but also as a Christian to begin to teach them the things that we believe about Christ. And so we need to look at children as what they are, as a blessing from God. There are times when you think, Lord, you know, maybe you can bless me in other ways because of their actions. But to be quite honest with you, no matter what they do, they are a blessing to you. And I want to say too, they're quite often, they're a reflection of you too. And with that, it's a testimony of who you are in your walk with the Lord. Now, I want to say this. If you've had children that have gone wayward as they've gotten older or moved out of the home and they tend to go out into the world and want to go in that direction, this verse that we're studying about here, first of all, of training them up, becomes critically important. And so maybe you're here and you're trying with an older child, and it's not just a young child like those that just walked out to go hear about Christ. It's never too late to start. It's never too late to get involved in their life. It's never too late to pour into them the truths of God's word. You know, it may very well be that as a believer, you didn't come to faith as an early age. Maybe you were an older parent, a little bit older when you came to faith. And maybe you didn't begin in that process of teaching your children and your grandchildren about the things of Christ. But now as you're growing in your faith, you can be pouring into them the things God is teaching you. And that they can hear the truths of God's word, but more importantly, they can see the change in your life. And they can see the relationship that you have with the Lord, the love you have with the Lord. And they can see that love you have for them as well. And so as we're looking at this today, you know, the first thought that I see here is it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Is the thought here is that God has given you ears and eyes, and we need to use those when we're walking through life too. It's important that when we cross the road, that we look both ways and we listen for the sound of cars coming and everything. And we're taught that at a young age. But I want to tell you too, we need to be teaching our children at a young age too, that we need to have our eyes and our ears open to everything we're involved in life. We don't need to be walking around blindly and not listening and paying attention to what's happening to us. We live in an age today where many walk around with these ear pods in their ears attached to a phone that is either playing music or some kind of maybe a message of someone teaching or whatever it is, but they're not always paying full attention to what's going on around them and who's around them. And I want to tell you, young folks, is the art of communication and being able to sit down and have a conversation with someone to not only tell them what you believe or what you think or what you want to say, but to more importantly, also be able to listen to others and to hear what they have to say and to hear their cares and their concerns for you in many cases is something you need to be aware of and pull those ear pods out of your ears and pay attention. And like when you're at the table or you're in a home with the family, there needs to be times when those electronic devices and stuff need to be set aside and you need to spend time conversing as a family. And I can remember that when I was young and growing up, my mom and my dad both worked. They worked at different times, but my mom would get up every morning and she'd cook breakfast for us before we get on the bus. We didn't always get to have breakfast together as a family. Didn't get to have lunch together as a family. But every day we came in, we knew we were going to eat dinner together. And when we sat down at that table, there was going to be conversation of what was your day like today? What happened in your day today? And you're going to explain basically all of your day long because mama would keep asking questions. And, you know, then daddy would ask about, you know, the chores and things like that that we always had. And that's the other thing, kids, you know, we had chores every day when we came home. We had school clothes and we had work clothes. And when you came home, you put your school clothes up and you put your work clothes on before you worried about anything else, you know, and you had to go and do your chores because when mom and daddy got home, those chores had to be done before then. It wasn't, I'll get to it later and do it when I want to. We were trained and taught from the beginning. There's an order to this household and how it operates and how it functions. And if you want to be a part of this household and you don't want to be in trouble in being a part of this household, you will comply. Now, that wasn't that we were abused in any way or anything like that, but we knew that we were loved, but we also knew there'd be discipline if we didn't follow through with those instructions that had been given to us as well. And so we need to walk through life with our eyes open and our ears open, looking for what's going on around us in the world. But as I think about that too, I think about how these parents come and they're concerned more about the child's behavior and their growth spiritually. You know, it's one thing that you have a strong-willed child or one that may misbehave at times. You know, those things can be dealt with and they need to be dealt with. But the concern for a lot of them is how do I go about doing this from a biblical perspective? Well, first of all, is when you're in a home, you need to spend time in God's Word together as a family. And dads, like I said, a lot of times this is left up to the mom. As they read the little storybooks of the Bible and they read, you know, children's Bibles to them and they pray with them when they put them to bed. I want to tell you, promotions and money and all those things have their place. But there are times when you have to weigh out whether those promotions and even the increase in pay will benefit your family in more ways than it would if you had time to be with your family more each day to spend time with them, teaching them the truths of what you believe as a follower of Christ. You see, we spent some time early on as we were chasing the things of the world and we were putting our children in Christian daycare and we were concerned that they were going to get some kind of teaching. But what you find out is they may teach something that they consider to be a Christian virtue or teaching that still may not be what you hold to in belief. And so someone else is beginning to teach your children the values of their Christian faith. That's why it's important starts in the home. As I said last week, we can help reinforce those things here. We can help come alongside you and helping you with that. But it has to start in training and teaching your children about who God is and the love of God and the relationship with God in the home. And so it says, train them up and they will not depart from the way. Now, as I've shared with you last week and other occasions too, we've gone through the situation with our son that was raised under the Word of God, raised in a Christian home, as a fine young man. But he was like most folks when he went off to college. He rebelled and got into the things of the world, and he was just really heading down a path of destruction. And we were praying this verse of scripture over him and praying for him to turn back to the things that he had been taught of Christ, the things he had professed in Christ. And thankfully he did. And many other of you can testify to those things as well. And those are some difficult days when you're going through those times when your children are straying from God and not walking with God. And you think back to the times that you spent teaching them the truths of God's word and pointing them to Christ, the decisions that they made, the commitments that they made to Christ, and you remind them of those things lovingly, but you can't beat them over the head with that. They have to realize the Spirit of God has to work in their life. The Word of God has to convict them of their need to repent and turn back to God, just like for us. And I want to tell you, as a parent, that's a hard thing to sit through and to go through when you see the direction they're headed in. It's in a bad direction, and you're trying to help correct it, and they seemingly don't want to listen. But I want to tell you this, too, is that consistency, that unconditional love, and that continued appropriate discipline, if needed and necessary, as it's needed and necessary, will help point them back to the love of Christ as well. You know, when I think back of my own relationship with the Lord, I think back to the folks, so many times I have been loved on as a young person, as a child, Sunday school teachers, people within the church, my grandmothers and my family and different ones that taught me about Christ. I knew who Christ was in my mind for a long time. But it was not until I was a young adult that I became a follower of Christ. Kim and I were already married. And it was those seeds that had been planted in my heart from that early age of my life and that continued teaching and living out before me by those that were Christians. And it was the love of Christ when I really understood and saw what Calvary really is, when I saw the love of God and the love of Christ for me and for all mankind to be willing to go to the cross and die for my sin and then to be raised from the dead and the hope and the promise of eternal life through faith in Christ alone. You know, as we're talking about teaching our kids here, there are times for corporal punishment as far as time out and spankings and those things that are appropriate based on their age, based on the things that they have done as well. But the main thing is that we spend the time, first of all, pouring into them and teaching them and training them. There's one God, and he loved us enough that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, and he raised him from the dead, and he gives us the hope and promise of eternal life, and one day he will come back for us, and then we will be with him. And so as we're looking at this about teaching and training our children, we need to teach them early on that there are boundaries. Now, I want to say as you're setting boundaries, there's boundaries for what's acceptable within the home and what's acceptable outside of the home. And one of the things I think about is when our kids would go off with someone else. We got to that stage where they were being invited to go and maybe spend time with a playmate or maybe to go and spend a night with someone. And, you know, you're trying to find out about those families and are they Christians and or is it going to be a safe environment and all those things. But the other thing was we made it very clear to our children is that you represent this home in our name. And we are followers of Christ and we love you. But with that, when you leave this home, you better be on your best behavior and you better be respectful. You better mind those adults that are watching over you. And they have permission, by the way, to discipline you if you misbehave. And if you misbehave and they don't, you will not go back with them again. And if you get in trouble with them while you're away, you can be assured there's going to be discipline when you get home too. Our concern was we were more concerned that they were well-behaved and that they were following ways to honor God and to honor our name and our home. Outside of the home when they were with others, we would rather have they misbehave when they were with us and we handled that correction and that instruction, that discipline in the home. Now, with that, that's important. It's important they know that, but they know what those boundaries are and that you're consistent with those, that they're not ambiguous, that they're this today and they change tomorrow. You know, God is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. His word is unchangeable. And what I mean by that is you can really confuse and cause harm to the child when you say this is the standard that you're to meet, and if you do something different, then you're going to receive discipline in this, and you change that arbitrarily. You know, it's not easy a lot of times being the enforcer of this discipline. But it's, you know, I was listening to an interview of all people of Carol Burnett just a few weeks ago. A lot of you are laughing already because you think of Carol Burnett as the redhead who's funny and all those things. We love Carol Burnett in that way. I don't really know if Carol Burnett had ever made a profession of faith, but what she did talk about was being a parent. And she talked about having a daughter who from an early age got involved with drugs and alcohol, and it got to the point that she was about to kill herself, basically, on drugs. And she made a statement. Now, think about this. If she's not a believer, think about how even people in the world, some can figure this out. But as believers, we certainly should understand this. As I tell people all the time, you have to be the parent. You cannot be their friend. You have to be the parent. But she said that, but she said one other thing that really struck me. She said, I came to a point I understood I had to love her enough to let her hate me if that's what it took to save her. Think about that. You know, the scripture says, spare the rod and hate the child in that sense of discipline. You know, the thing that kids will respond to when they hit that teenage time frame, I want to go ahead and tell you, you know, as a parent, they listen to very little in the sense of wanting to hear what you got to say. And sometimes they look at you and treat you as if you're the dumbest person that ever walked the planet and you have no brain. But what happens, though, is when you love them unconditionally and you discipline them and consistently, is they also hit a time, too, and they get over in their 20s or so, about the time they're thinking about marriage, about the time they get married, where they begin to realize, well, mom and daddy's not quite as dumb as I thought they were. But the other thing that happens, too, is this. Through that love and that consistent discipline, they come to a point where they begin to realize they had my best interest at heart in everything that they were doing. And they've loved me, and they've made that abundantly clear. But when I stepped out of line, they know when they're doing wrong. Y'all don't look at me and look at that like, you know, I don't do wrong. I love y'all over here. But you know when you're doing wrong. We all do. But they can look back and say, but they were consistent in everything they did. Have you noticed one thing I've talked about? One is about being reasonable in your discipline, but the one thing I haven't said is being fair. You see, if we got what was fair or what was right, you wouldn't like that. As sinners, the Lord makes it clear that we didn't get what we deserved, but what we got was what we did not deserve. And a lot of times you can think, I didn't deserve that whipping or whatever for whatever I did. But you know in your heart of hearts you did. And after a while, it's going to come to a point where you realize the only reason I got that is because they love me. The next thing I want to look at is in Proverbs 20, verse 11, as we are right there, just flip the page over. It says, even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. A child's conduct is important to God and should therefore be of great importance to the parents. A child is known by his actions, but also, as I said before, your child's conduct is obvious to onlookers, and it's actually a part of your total testimony. Now, I want to say sometimes, and I say this because I'm about to read some scripture, and I want you to understand, is I'm not being trying to be impartial here or prejudiced either, but I've seen it a lot of times even before, long before I became a preacher, but as I've watched how sometimes people look at deacons' kids and preachers' kids. And it's like you're like the preacher and the deacons. You're held up to these standards, and it's like you can't ever make a mistake. I want to tell you here today, every one of us, including your preacher and your deacons, make mistakes, and we all fall short. And we have to ask the Lord to forgive us. But you know, sometimes we can be a little stronger, more judgmental about it, because what the Scripture says is, the Scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, regarding pastoral qualifications, is one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. And down in verse 12, it's, in referring to deacons, it says, let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their houses well. The idea of that is, if you can't control your own children in your own household, how in the world can you help with the affairs of the church and trying to keep the church operating and functioning in a manner that's not chaotic? Because we know that the Lord is not the author of chaos. But that you do so in your own home, and it's a representation in the house of God as well of leading in the home, leading in the church. But I think, too, as we're looking at that, there's a reference here, too, that it refers back. These are talking specifically to men here. And, guys, I'm not letting the ladies off, but what I want to talk to you about a lot today is this. I know a lot of times we work long hours. Sometimes we have hobbies and things that we do and we pick to do on our own. Sometimes that includes our kids are able to participate in those hobbies. But there comes a time in your life when you need to make the sacrifice. Is the things you did when you were single, or the things you did when you were a couple before you had children, you need to set some of those things aside for a period of time. There's seasons in life. You know, I played golf for a lot of years, and as my children were coming along, and I got to playing golf on Saturdays with guys, I began to realize, man, it's taking 4 to 5 hours of a day and a great expense to come out here and play this. And my wife's home taking care of my kids after she's worked all week, and she's cleaning the house, and she's doing all these things. And I began to realize I need to be investing and pouring into my kids. I need to be spending time with my children. It was nothing against the guys that I played with or the sport or any of those things, but it was the fact that you have to prioritize the priorities of your life. And let me just say, there are no greater priorities other than your relationship with the Lord, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your children, and I'm going to add one more because you're going to think job, but your relationship with the body of Christ. All of those are extremely important. And in that order. The only thing is, it's not just because the church is down at fourth place over there in that order that it's to be just forgotten. Because we play a large part as the body of Christ and come alongside you and helping you and teaching them and pointing them towards Christ and reaffirming the things that you're teaching them in the home. And in many cases, it's through that some come to faith. Some come to faith in the home. Others come to faith in the church. But it's because moms and dads have poured into them and told them. I just saw on the news, and I was talking about someone earlier, last night a 7-year-old boy had over 300 surgeries from his birth that died. And they were showing videos of him on oxygen in the hospital. And they're talking about how many Bible verses he had learned, how he learned and was growing in God's word. And from an early age, he had come to faith. But folks, we don't know how long our kids have on this earth. We don't know how long we have. And the Scripture tells us we're to redeem the time. And so with that, our most precious commodity and the thing that we should be investing most in is our children, and to know that they have a relationship with Christ. And so that child is known by his actions. I'll never forget, we were talking about outside the home and the action stuff. Had her daughter in daycare, and I'm not picking on her. I love her. But my Kim took her to work that morning because she could drop her off and go on to work, and she called me crying, and our daughter had not wanted to go to school that morning to go to nursery, to child care. And so she was very strong-willed, and she had a sweet teacher there that was with her, a godly lady. And Kim takes her to the door, and Aaron decides she doesn't want to go in. She just kicks the teacher in the shin and like, drew a whelp up on her. And so Kim took her to the bathroom, and she gave her appropriate discipline. And she went back, and she was still misbehaving. So she called me and said, you're going to have to do something. So I showed up and I told them I'm going to take her home, and I told them, but we will be back. And so she's all smiling and happy, and she's thinking, I'm going to go home today. I've gotten my way. Until we got home and she got the appropriate discipline that she needed again. And she was told very clearly, we love you, but we don't always get what we want in life. We don't always get our way. And there are things in life you have to do so that we can provide for you and that you can get the education you need and all these things you need. And you're going back to that school and you're going to apologize to this teacher. And she says, I'm not going to do it. And I'm telling you, we'll try you. But I will say this, she went back and she apologized and Kim gave her roses. But, you know, there are things that you face in life and difficulties. But, you know, here's the thing. She represented our home. And also, I love her enough to know, too, and Kim did as well, to know that if she got away with this, we had a real problem on our hands. Not only us, but others are going to have problems on our hands, too. And, you know, when you're raising your children, you want them to go out into society and you want them to prosper. You want them to be a blessing to those around them in society and to do that in a way that honors God. And so with that, the child is known by their actions and their conduct if it's pure and right. And I'm going to share with you too from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. I know we're getting close on our time. This is another familiar area that you're familiar with or should be familiar with. If you're not, mark this in your Bible. It says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. The home is the primary training environment for your child. The responsibility to take them from being zero responsible for themselves as a baby to 100% responsible for themselves as a human being, it belongs to you as the parent. Is in most cases, most kids, we pour into our children up until they're about the age of 8 years old in teaching them things, teaching them morals and values and ethics and our beliefs and all these things. And for most kids, at about that time, they can begin to understand and live out and know the consequences of not doing those things. And so they can make decisions that are good decisions on their own to a point. But they're not grown yet. They still need that nurturing and that teaching and that training, that admonition. And that's why it says when you walk with them, when you sit with them, when you lie down with them, at all times that you're with them, you're teaching them. Now, I want to say real quickly, though, as you're teaching, that the home is not to be a Marine boot camp. It's, if you want to get a total different response, is you go hardcore boot camp on them, and everything is so rigid and so by the law, and it's do this and don't do that. What I mean by that is when the things happen, those are teachable moments. Take that time there too to reaffirm what you've already been teaching them in the home. Don't let those moments slide by, or I'll get it later and put it off and put it off and put it off. Is that's the time right at the moment to stop and teach that they can then learn that lesson and apply it and then hopefully not continue down that road as well. You know, these verses are part of the Shema. It was given to the Israelites, verses 4 through 9. And it's talking about the conduct in a way that will bring blessing. Because when you turn to that scripture there, in verse 4, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. And these words which I command you today, which shall be with you. But as you're reading that in verse 3, it says, Observe it that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly as the Lord of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, I know a lot of us are looking for life to be a blessing and a joy and for there to be peace in the home. And if you really want that, it starts with that relationship with the Lord yourself, and it starts with teaching that to your children. I'm going to close real quickly with this. This you can think has nothing to do with child rearing, but I want to tell you, a lot of the adults that I deal with today that are having problems, a lot of times are from either broken homes or homes where the dad was absentee because of his work, kept him away for so long that he was not really there, involved in so much in their relationship of being a parent. But with this is pursue righteousness in your marriage. Husbands need to show your children how a husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church. Kids, do you see your dad loving her? Are you observing how he's tender with her and patient with her? He protects her. Men, your example in the treatment of your wife will teach volumes about Christ's love for his bride, the church. And wives, submit to teach your children to submit to your husband in everything, as it talks about in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. Do your children see you work out your submission to Christ and respectful submission to your husband? Your marriage is a living, breathing example of the church's willing submission to her head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess your sins to one another. I want to tell you, there are times as a parent that we can be wrong. Even as we go about disciplining our children and we mean well for them, we can be wrong. If you want to show a child what it means to be a true follower of Christ, humble yourself as a mom or dad and ask them to forgive you when you wrong them in some way. Confess your sins appropriately to them if you've sinned against them or the mom or the dad. And the other thing, too, is pursue sexual purity. Be very careful to protect your home from sexual immorality of the world that we live in. Abstain from sexual immorality yourself and otherwise promote sexual purity in your home. The pursuit of sexual purity should govern, and listen to this, it should govern your entertainment choices, season your speech, and guide you when you're in public or private, especially when you think no one else is looking or listening. You know, we made a rule in our home a long time ago. Whatever our children cannot watch, we don't watch. And you think, well, I'm an adult. I can handle it. It doesn't matter if it's nudity. It don't matter if it's language. It don't matter if it's this. Let me tell you something. If you look at it as the same as if Jesus and your children sitting beside you, and would they be embarrassed, or would they be confused, or would they be hurt, then it's not for you. And so abstain from those things. Make your home a commitment to the Lord. Know that the Lord is the head of that household, and your children know that the Lord is the head of that household. And finally, show your children your own love for God and man. Scripture says, love your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. You know, with that, they need to see you not only loving your spouse and them, but your neighbors and your friends, those around in the church, those in the community, loving them as Christ would love them. And lastly, fathers, do not provoke your children, but teach them and instruct them, as it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Is that you spend that time with them in loving them and teaching them and correcting them as needed. But do so without having to always have such a strong hand in doing it. You know, it's okay sometimes when you have to do corporal discipline to have to spank them. But even then, it should be a matter that they're not abused. It should be a matter you're not doing out of anger. It should be a matter you're doing it out of love. And I told you before, and I'm going to close with this, as my dad used to tell me, this hurts me more than it hurts you. Until I smarted off that one time. But you know, as I became a father, while I looked at that begrudgingly as a youth, as I became a father, I began to appreciate what my daddy told me. And I understood the truth of it. And young men, young ladies that are here, I want to tell you too, someday you're going to be a parent. And with that, I want you to begin now to begin to look at putting yourself in the shoes of your parents as they discipline you. Is that they're not doing that because they hate you. They're doing it because they love you. If they didn't love you, they wouldn't even bother. It'd be much easier in some ways not to. But they're expressing their love for you even when they discipline you, because they want you to thrive and to grow in a relationship with Christ and to be a good servant to the kingdom of God and in the society that we live in to point others to Christ. Amen. We're going to close. I know we're over on our time, but I just want to tell you, as families, as parents, maybe you just need to come to this altar now and begin to pray. Lord, continue to give me wisdom and understanding of your word. Continue to give me the strength to set aside the time that I need to and should to be involved in my kids' life and as a parent and teaching them about you and living out my life in application of your word in a way that continues to point them to you in all things that you might be glorified through our family. Maybe you just want to join us right here at the altar and pray. Kim, would you come? Let's just pray right here.